Hi everyone, and welcome to Video Gaming is Good. This is episode 12. I'm your host Darren, aka Mo, and
I'm Lee Squazza.
Yes, and thanks for joining us.
Episode 12.
Yeah, that's a dozen, isn't it? Yeah.
Do you know what else is good about 12?
What?
It's a fifth of an hour.
Oh, snap. Okay, well, thanks for everyone for listening. Once again, I'd like to say that we're not pros, so don't expect any top-notch conversations from us. And if our sound quality is bad, it's because we're using bad equipment. We can't afford to buy anything new.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. Is there any update about the status of your bridge selling, Lee?
I've had a few inquiries, but sadly, there seems to be some sort of problem with the deeds. Like, Sydney is saying there's our bridge, and I don't know, they're on drugs or something, so I'm going to have to sort that out.
Oh, well. Oh, all the best to you again about that.
Thanks.
I think we'll get on with the show. Oh, before I do that, I'd like to thank people for any comments they put in. I think Excalibur put a few comments for our last episode, so thanks a lot, mate.
Much appreciated. He's quite prolific.
Yes, he does it very frequently, and last time he commented, I think it was like straight after I posted the podcast up on the internet, so, you know.
It's scary.
Either he's really a big fan or he's a stalker. Oh, anyway, we'll worry about that later on. Article 1 is to Lee, so your turn, mate.
Righty-o, then. This article is titled Germany Plans Crackdown on Violent Online Games. You know, of course. Article says, now, most of it, you know, you can skip. This is a bill introduced in the parts of Germany, Bavaria and Lower Saxony, which, from I've been told from my dad, who's from Germany, that they are, especially Bavaria, is quite a conservative part of the nation, so keep that in mind. But the second paragraph is really the guts of the article here. The two states have drafted a bill that would subject developers, distributors, and players of video games whose goal is to inflict cruel violence on humans or human-looking characters to a fine and a maximum of 1 year in jail. What rot. That is stupid. That is just, I mean, so, and the stupidest thing of it is, this will only affect legitimate users. You know, the guy who goes out and buys a game, he won't be able, obviously won't be able to buy it anymore. To the guy who pirates the thing, it's not gonna bother him at all. So I mean, again, it punishes the legitimate users, but apart from that, it's just stupid. You know, I mean, on human looking characters, but it's fiction. You know, but there's just it's just stupid.
Nearly
I hope
every game out there has human looking characters, and
exactly
if it involves some sort of shooting, you know, I guess you can't get arrested for playing Sims, though people
yeah,
might
right.
take you to some kind of psychiatrist for doing so. But you know, there seems some people around the world who plays, I guess, first person shooters, and so they're gonna arrest those in Germany that want to play all these games. That's just, you know,
it's just another moral panic. It's stupid. And I mean, keep in mind, Germany already has some tough game laws. I mean, like the German version of Counter-Strike, there's no blood. The bodies disappear instantly. I don't know what's going on. You know,
I don't know. It's like, you know, I don't want to say anything bad, but who was the one that started a few world wars a couple of years back?
I think it was a country that began with G and ended with Ermini.
I don't know what that is. But, yeah.
I don't know. It's stupid. This is stupid.
I don't know, for all those listening, you're probably going, what the hell are we talking about? Yes, it's some kind of stupid idea from Germany. They're saying that they're going to arrest people or put them in jail for playing violent video games, so
yeah. I hope the Chancellor goes and smacks them upside the face. That's just dumb.
Yeah, that's a stupid bill. If they pass it, you know, don't know what's next. They probably arrest kids for playing Pokemon. But, you know, anything else, we don't know what's going on. We'll leave
on
that
you.
Article. Yeah, back to me. Thanks for that, Lee. We'll go into something a bit more interesting, I guess, and this article is called Gamers Gone Wild, Wii Goes Flying. And no, people, this is not the title of one of those R-rated movies. This is talking about the Nintendo Wii, how they're saying that with people using the controllers, you know, very, what's the word? They get into gaming. Oh, no, I'm stuck for words now. But just basically, they played with the Nintendo Wii, and the controllers go flying, and sometimes it destroys the TV screens, breaks windows, and you know, this is probably the first time something like this has ever come along, as the Wii is the first game console where you have to actually move your hands or whatever to get a response on the screen. But I don't know, I was reading this article and thinking, for you to actually lose control of the remote, you gotta be either one, really immersed in the game, or two, a total klutz. Because I tried this Nintendo Wii over the weekend, thanks to my good mate Pete. Thanks a lot, Pete. And I don't see how the hell you could lose control of it, especially if you're using a strap too. What are your thoughts about this, Oi?
Well, I think, I mean, you know, obviously you got somewhere people have to flail their arms about, you know, eventually some moron's going to let go of the thing. But this is obviously, you know, an important issue. You know, they've got to get this sort of thing ironed out. But I like this part of the article here. It was like a loud crack, she said, recalling the moment the Wiimote glanced off her coffee table, snapped its wrist strap, and hurtled into her flat-screen TV. It was kind of surreal. Actually, I thought I was dreaming at first. Come on, CNN. I mean, it's like you're writing a novel here.
But I think she was, you know, probably my, you know, me and the Wii, the love-hate relationship. But, you know, well, I'm not sure if you know, but it's like you're holding it. I'm thinking if you use the remote control for TV, and, you know, a lot of us has, I don't think you're going to, you know, wave it around, you know, that enthusiastically and lose control. Some people might, maybe because they, you know, sweat like a pig and their hands, you know, lose control that way. But even with the strap holds on to it, you know, fine enough. But I don't know, a lot of people are using this. I think people are just making, you know, noise or complaints about it because they themselves have destroyed the TV or the window some other way. And I thought, hey, I got a Wii. Maybe I can try to scam some money out of this.
Nice.
And, you know, maybe they say, you know, Nintendo's got a lot of money, and maybe we can get Mario to come over and give us a few of his coins. You never know.
I think, and this has got to be true, I think it's a conspiracy between window manufacturers, TV manufacturers, coffee table manufacturers, pretty much every manufacturer. It's a conspiracy to the highest levels to make us buy more TVs and coffee tables. This has got to be it.
And probably Chuck and Sony too for making Nintendo look bad. But you know, it's we all know about Sony. They get some really nasty tactics.
Yeah.
When Sonic gets mad, you don't want to be in his way.
No.
But also another thing about this article is saying that marketing experts say that the buzz over this damage could help the sales. You know, people get so, you know, interested in how the hell are these things function. You know, like, people get so enthusiastic of playing the game, I think I'll, you know, go on, buy one for myself and take a look. And in the end, I'll probably lose my TV screen too. But, you know, Nintendo's going, hey, if this bad thing in sort of way is making us sell more consoles, why not?
Perfect.
Well, that's enough of this article. I'll get back to Lee.
Yes, that's me. Okay, this article is called Sony: No One Will Use 100% of PS3. Right. Says their games currently use less than half. Right. Okay, this article goes on about how Sony's president of Worldwide Studios, Phil Harrison, says, PS3, it's so good, no one's going to use 100% of its capacity. It's just impossible. I mean, like, no one's ever going to need more than 640K of memory.
Snap.
But, I disagree with him. But I think the PS3, I think they're sort of, like, trying to, like, just put a lot, like, too much into it. Like, it's, you know, it's everything. It's like a crock pot and a games machine and a coffee maker and a DVD player for a format no one likes, and, you know, I reckon I could probably get it to walk Dexter as well. But it's just doing too much, unlike other consoles that begin with W and end with E. They focus on those things. What are they called again? The games! They focus on the games. I think maybe Sony should you know, take a step back from trying to make their Christmas tree, crock pot, coffee maker, oven, stove, TV, games machine, and just try and focus on maybe just like one or two of those things.
It's but, like the Swiss Army knife of consoles for some reason.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just got too. It's got too many things for its own good, you know. And especially with the problems it's facing, I don't see how Sony's gonna, you know, get itself out of this hole.
If they can, like, use all the capacity on this thing to make, to crank out some awesome games, then that's cool. But I fear that Sony's just going to be using that capacity, this quite powerful machine, to basically just, you know, twaddle it away on garbage, you know. But we'll see. I'm not holding high hopes for this one. What do you think?
I agree with what you said in a way. It's too many things, aren't you? Because people, like, will buy it for a certain reason. You know, there'll be a gamer who buys to play games. Maybe there'll be someone who buys it because they want to use it for a DVD or something like that. Or somebody else probably buys it to use as a paperweight. Who knows? But it's too many things. And, it's, you know, Sony, they make other good things themselves. I'm sure they already got, you know, their own DVD players and whatever. You know, next they probably chuck on a mobile phone onto the PS3 or something like that, but
of course,
you know, how the hell are you going to talk with it? It weighs a brick. But yeah, it's 100% of it's not going to be used. I guess that's true, but if I bought a gaming console, I just want it for a gaming console. I don't want it for anything else. Plus, you know, it costs too much money, and something that's dedicated for a gaming machine, it's going to, you know, I guess, be better in the long run. And if you look at the Nintendo Wii, it's a dedicated game machine, and they're getting, you know, top-notch sales. I think it's, like, sold out nearly everywhere. Well, you try to find one now, it's pretty hard, no matter where you are, so.
There you go.
And good one, Sony. I'm sure that's going to help you in the long run.
Next one is you.
Yeah, okay, the final article we got for now is titled, Remote Straps Replace. Yeah, all of them. And this article basically goes in how saying that the current version or the original version of the strap on the Nintendo remote is a bit thin. And I'm talking about the section that actually connects to the remote itself, not the one that goes around your wrist. And if you go to this website, which we'll put onto our own website later on, you can see the two differences in the picture, how the newer version of the strap is a bit thicker than the original version. And this is because people have been experiencing the strap to actually snap. And that could also contribute to the previous article I was talking about of how the gamers go wild, or whatever it's called. But I guess it's a good thing that Nintendo have offered to replace it. I guess it's free of charge, I'm sure it is, and it's going to cost them a lot of money, but, you know, it's a good public relations for Nintendo. Say, oh, if we made a problem, we'd like to fix it, and I believe they're doing so in the new batch of Nintendo Wiis that they are producing at the moment, so that's something good to hear. But, yeah, I don't know what to actually say, but for them to replace, well, all their straps were voluntarily placed. Like, some people might not have any problems with the original version, so they think, hey, I can hold on to mine, I don't need to replace it, that's good for them. But for those who might have little kids who maybe need a little bit of help holding onto it, this is very good to the public, and I guess it's another good move by Nintendo. What are your thoughts, Lee?
Well, again, like you say, it's difficult to really, you know, have an opinion on this, but, you know, I'll try. So, like you said, you know, I mean, this is going to cost them a fair bit of scratch to, you know, and again, it is voluntary, like it says in the article. It's not a recall, so they, you know, if people, you know, they're happy with what they got, they can leave it. But I think the cost will certainly, you know, it'll be worth the goodwill that this will get by them. You know, this just... It just sort of shows that Nintendo is a company that, you know, it actually takes some pride in what it does. It's not just trying to just ship as many units as it can and just screw the customer afterwards. Yeah, I haven't got a Wii, but, you know, if I do, and or if I did, sorry, and if I want a new strap, I'd be getting that strap.
And then also another case, if you don't particularly need a new strap, you can just get one and probably use the old one as a strap for your mobile phone. It looks similar. You could use it for that, or maybe even attach it to your Nintendo DS, as it's got a little hole there for you to put a strap onto it too.
Perfect.
It's a win-win situation for all. Well, that's it for the news articles, and I think we'll go on to the episode topic. And once again, Lee has thought up a beautiful name for it, and I'll pass it over to Lee to tell us what the name of this topic is.
Okay, well, this was formulated yesterday at work when I had absolutely nothing to do and I'd read all the books I brought. So, okay, the topic is the internet. Oh, it's in a poem form, by the way. The internet. It's a world of everything, open for a sticky beak, a place for gaming, tons of flaming, except in Australia, where you are stuck up shit creek.
Yeah, sorry about the language there, but basically what we're trying to say is that the internet in Australia and its current form
sucks.
Is absolutely crap. Yes, it does suck, and how to explain this? You think that Australia being a developed nation would be able to have a better infrastructure for ADSL, but apparently no. I guess you could blame it on our huge distance gap between our major cities, but I don't think that's a good excuse, especially how nowadays the internet is such an important tool, not only for communicating but also for business, that if we fall too far behind everybody else, we won't be able to catch up and we'll probably suffer in the long run.
Mm.
What are your basic thoughts about this, Lee, at the moment?
Okay, well, I mean, obviously this is a huge topic. We could spend hours talking about this, but got a few minor, you know, well, when I say minor, they're my main argument, my main beefs with this.
Go for it, mate.
Yep. One of them is this constant desire to build backhaul networks. Like, all right, we live in WA, and our government in this state just recently announced this is going to be building a statewide network connecting up a bunch of, you know, places. Okay, that's great, but they're building backhaul networks. The one thing almost every developed country has plenty of is backhaul. You know, we got miles of fiber sitting in the ground that is not doing anything. It's just waiting there until it is needed. You know, we got tons of the stuff. The problem is the last mile. Now, do you know what the last mile means, Emma?
Explain to me, Lee.
Basically, that's the segment that connects the customer premises, so our houses, businesses, etc., to the point of presence. So in our case, the exchange, or in my case, the cable head end. That is the most difficult section to upgrade, and no one ever tackles it because it is so costly, and you know, they might not get a return. The incumbent telco, Telstra, might want to protect its phone revenue. Wants to protect its phone revenue. That's cream there. But these companies, they go, oh yeah, like our government. Oh, we're going to be building this broadband network. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be so good. If this thing ever gets off the ground, it's not going to make one iota of difference to people in the bush, to people in the city. It's going to be useless. And you know, you see these companies, oh yeah, we're building this, but they're never tackling that last mile, which is just, you know, where it should be. That's my main issue with this. And my second is the fact that I think there is basically too many companies trying to sell the same thing, right? So I mean, it may even have a situation where there is too much competition. There are so many companies, so many ISPs in it for a country our size. I think we have like 12,000 or 8,000. We got tons. I mean, we're short of water, but we're not short of ISPs. We have so many ISPs that for an ISP to actually make any money, they really can't, you know, go for the best deal. You know, like the grand poobah of internet plans. You know, completely unlimited, $50 a month, great speed. It's never going to happen. So they all have to go for these rubbish plans that we're all on, where you get shaped after some, you know, rubbish amount, like 12 gigs or 18 gigs. Well, I don't know. I don't care. But there are so many companies that can't offer like the really good thing and suffer the losses for a while, or, you know, until they build up enough customers to, you know, counteract people like me flogging the thing 24 hours a day. counteracting with people, say, like my parents, who flog it for maybe 5 minutes a week. You know, so there are so many companies that they can't take the risk, because it'll ruin them. The only companies that can take the risk are the big ones, and in this country we have one huge one, and one that is, I mean, okay, there are, I think it's 800, no, it might be about 900,000 customers on Bigfon, which is Telstra's retail arm. The next biggest ISP is Optus with 300,000, and then the next one after that is like 100,000 or something. It falls away so quickly. So you have, I don't know, 6, 9, 10 ISPs or something that have the bulk of the customers, and then thousands more that have bugger all. So I think there is maybe too much competition in Australia. And I think the regulatory situation in our country is just, it's a waste, just a nightmare of things. But, you know, I got to take a drink, so, you know, your turn.
Yes, and thanks for joining our show for this episode. Ah, just kidding about that. That's a long talk, Lee, and I understand what you're saying, and I agree with you all the way. Is that, well, I just don't want to say what you just said, but the internet in Australia is kind of crap because of what Lee just said. You know, there's too many companies, so they have to charge ridiculous amounts just to make a profit. We get shaped, so unlike some other people around the world, I think like America, maybe Canada, where they don't get shaped on certain plans, you know, whatever we get a quota for a month, they can probably do it in a day, which is shocking. And the cost that we pay for our crap speeds is even more shocking to them. It's like, what, you pay how much? Oh, no, that's kind of shit. But, you know, mind my language, but, you know, we all are very, not enthusiastic, but we feel very strong about the shape of the ADSL in Australia, how we're thinking we are not getting our money's worth, and we're thinking something needs to be done quickly, and more than likely it probably won't. Even, you know, as I said before, the business world in Australia will suffer when doing other business with other countries. Even recently, Rupert Murdoch, you know, the head of, what's that, the News Corporation, or Fox and all that.
Of News Corp, yep.
Yeah, something like that. You know, he said that, you know, the current shape of ADSL in Australia is a joke for, you know, trying to communicate and do business around the world. You know, we either got to get in shape quickly, or we're just going to fall behind. And he basically said something like that. So, personally, I don't want to pay so much for the internet, but unfortunately I have to. But I don't really have to, but, you know, that's just the way things are, because what's the speeds I get? Half a megabit. Which is, you know, okay, it does its job, but for how much I pay a month, which is over $60, that's just shocking. So anybody around the world who's listening, going, what, you pay $60 Australian for that speed? Yeah, unfortunately, we have to. And, you know, not sure what to say, but, yep, if you want to come to Australia, don't come here for the internet. Just come here for the sun, the surf, the beach, and the chicks. But if you want to do any browsing on the internet, don't bother.
Stay in America.
Stay in America, or stay in Canada.
Yeah. Come visit me when I'm living there.
Yeah, when Lee goes to Canada, everyone listening is all invited to Lee's place to enjoy fast speed internet.
And then we'll go see some hockey. Yep.
Go see some hockey. Oh.
But also, I mean, okay, so we have the ramifications, the broader picture, the business world, our economy, country's future. But how about, we'll be a little selfish here for a couple of minutes, how about us personally as gamers and other gamers listening? How does this impact us?
Well, it impacts us a lot, especially if you're playing games that are based, I guess, overseas. And for example, I'll take the big one that's out right now, and our good friend Sean plays religiously every day and night, and you'll be surprised if he actually responds to you when you send him a message over MSN, is World of Warcraft. As we all know, or most of you would know, that the servers that the Australian people play on are based in America, which means unless you got the fast internet, if you got standard internet, you are looking at pings of anywhere, I guess maybe 400, 500 up to 1,000, which is basically unplayable. So this means that you're going to lag, you're going to, you know, miss out on right-clicking on the appropriate item at the right time and miss out on picking up the item you want, or even killing the enemy before he gets it. Before he, you know, he probably killed you while you lagged out, so that's no fun. I guess, what other games? No, not just talking about, you know, I guess, not just talking about, you know, internationally, but also around the country. As you know, we are in WA, and when I play online games, for example, Battlefield 2142, which I'm sure all of you know I play by now, the main servers I play on are based in Melbourne or Adelaide, and even though it's not too far of a distance, the jump can contribute to instability in the network, and I guess the lag, or you know, the difference between the double-digit ping and the triple digit ping is big in the terms of the gaming world.
And inside your own country, that is pathetic. That is pathetic. I mean, I remember reading some way back when Counter-Strike was in Beta 7, there was a clan, I was just reading the news group, there was a clan in England, and they were whinging that they were getting 80 millisecond pings to America. They're in England. That's across a major ocean. And they're like, oh, 80 milliseconds, oh, that sucks. You know, I mean, 80 milliseconds domestically here, especially out here in the Waitawala state, 80 milliseconds to the east coast of Australia, you're sitting there going, gee, it's my lucky day. You know, what's that about? And the other thing for me, I mean, we have the quotas on every connection.
True.
I got the Battlefield 2 1.41, I think it was, patched the other day. It was like 530 meg.
Mm-hmm.
Game demos, they're like a gig. A mm-hmm. gig! I mean, it's heaps. You know, so, selfishly, you know, we're missing out on demos, the patches. You know, it has come to the stage where you might go, well, I've got to patch the game to play for the rest of the month. But if I patch the game, you know, I'll be shaped for the next week. You know, you're sitting there going, I'm stuffed. I might even go outside. I mean, what's that about?
Yes, you don't want that to happen outside. Natural sunlight, you know, natural light, that's not good on the skin.
I think we're sick already.
Yep. I think we'll leave it there for the episode topic. As you heard from both of us, especially from Lee, we could argue about this all day long, and we are very strong about this topic. If you got any contributions you want to talk about this episode topic, which the title, I won't get Lee to say it again, it's a mouthful, but it's basically saying the internet sucks in Australia. Please leave a message a comment on our website, and we'll probably respond back quickly. And I expect Excalibur to maybe respond very quickly.
He's probably waiting right now.
He's probably hammering the F5 key on his keyboard.
What's this about?
He's not up yet. Oh my god. Oh well, that's enough for that episode topic, and it's time for us to move along. As you know, this part of the episode, we like to talk about what games we are playing. So once again, I'll leave it to Lee to start off. As we know, okay, Lee, what games have you been playing since we last talked?
What games haven't I been playing? We'll start off with my favourites, SimCity 4. I love that game. You know, I'm a bit boring. I love urban planning, but it's going good. Sims 2, I formatted my computer last week, and one of the first games I reinstalled, and seeing as it was one of the only games I had installed, I played that for a bit. Still cranking away at Insul Calf. Going good for once. I'm actually, you know, getting a bit of an army together.
Uh-huh.
Went to a LAN on the weekend, so...
Snap.
Yeah, played a few first-person shooters, games you're familiar with, you may have heard of them. Battlefield 2, Battlefield 2142.
Ooh!
Yes!
How did you go in those?
Well, I was in a what do you call them? Clan? No, not a clan. Squad. Squad.
Yeah, squad, and, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. And I was, well, I mean, there was only three of us, so... But, you know, I was always at the top of the ladder in terms of, you know, like, the including bots and everything. And quite often, I'd actually beat one of the other guys who actually plays this thing often. So, you know, I was pretty happy about that.
Cool.
Did pretty good at Battlefield 2, better than Battlefield 2142 because...
unlocks.
None of us had any of these unlocks. We were like, how do we shoot these? Oh, we need such and such. Where do we get that? unlocks.
Yeah, for those who don't know about Battlefield 2142, but you should know by now if you listen religiously as I talk about it nonstop, is that most of the good stuff in Battlefield 2142, you can only get them through unlocking it, and you can only unlock it by getting, points which you get from playing online. So apparently if you are on a LAN and you don't have an internet connection, you are stuck with the basic weapons. So that means you miss out on the defibrillator, so therefore you cannot revive any fallen teammates, and you miss out on grenades, so you can't spam anyone with grenades. So yeah, you miss out on unlocks. But anyway, I'll leave it back to Lee. What else have you been playing, Lee?
We also played at the LAN Call of Duty 2.
Ooh, another good game. How'd you go with that?
No, first of all, I'd like to say to Pete that I made use of our strategy of just spamming the thing with smoke grenades. Worked well. I'd also like to say that when a particular thing called Ammo Bot isn't around...
what do you mean, Ammo Bot?
When Ammo Bot is not there sniping everybody, I actually managed to get a few kills in, and I won every game, so I was on top of the world, cause I do better when Ammo Bot's not there.
Okay, so just because I wasn't playing means that you can actually, win, is it?
Yeah, you're just too good, mate.
Oh, well, thanks for that, but yeah, I guess you could say I snipe everybody, but I don't snipe with a sniper rifle, I just snipe with any other rifle I pick up. Ooh, what's this? And for those listening in, especially those people who I've played against, and I'm talking to Excalibur, yes, I'm talking to you, mate, right now. You will know the pain of being on the receiving end of one of my, I guess, kill shots, and especially always watching the kill cam to see how I exactly killed you in that moment. Yeah. But, that's a great game, and,
it's just humiliating.
But it's a fun game. Oh, yeah, back to me, I guess, but what games I'm playing? Well, I've played, although since the last episode, I played a bit of Battlefield 2142, and the reason is that because I've been playing some other games. 2142 is a good game, but give it a rest now and then, otherwise I'll probably wear it out. Other games I've been playing, Need for Speed Carbon, yes, I've been playing that again since I last talked about it, but what I'd like to mention is that about 2 days after doing the episode, or maybe 1 day after doing the last episode, I finished it, which is 100% completion in the career mode. And I thought, hey, this is pretty quick. And I finished it quickly because I just jumped around to the races. I didn't actually drive through the streets to, get to each race. So I thought, maybe I'll play it again and drive to each race. So therefore, cops will probably chase me and make me drive through the whole city, and therefore, increasing the gameplay length overall. So how long did that last? That probably lasted 4 days instead of two. I finished it once again, and I have to say, it's a great game. Bit short. The in-game story is a bit weak, but it's a racing game, not a graphic novel. But yeah, so overall, it's a good game, and I recommend it to those who like racing games. Warcraft 3. I needed a good RTS game to play, and I thought, don't know what else there is to play. All these new RTS games out there I like, but they require the NASA computer to get the graphics up and everything else. So I thought I'll revert back to something a few years old, and that even looks good on my old machine. So, hey, Warcraft 3, I can actually turn up everything to maximum details and run it at a good frame rate, frame rate. So I thought, hey, Warcraft 3, and I haven't actually played through the campaign before, so I'm currently playing through the single-player campaign, and I think I just finished the human side of it. It's got an interesting storyline, and it follows along with the Warcraft universe, so any other Warcraft games out there, especially World of Warcraft, it follows along with it, so it gives you that feeling that they all tied in together. Another game I just started playing recently is Rainbow Six Vegas. I love Rainbow Six. I've read the book a couple of times, so I thought, I'll give the games a shot when they came out, and each game I played, I enjoyed it. So this latest edition, they kind of went in a new direction. It was not so tactical and not so simulation-like as that, if you get one shot to the head, you die or something like that. This time they made it more action for run and gun, or not too much run and gun. You still got to, take cover and fire. But it was first released on console, so, they made it more console-friendly, not so realistic, as you know, I guess that's what you expect when they do console games. And one thing I am surprised about it, when they ported it over to the PC, it actually stayed as a console game. So you know, they didn't stuff around with it, especially considering the last game by Ubisoft, which was Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter, where they totally redid it and it sucked on the PC. Rainbow Six Vegas for the PC, I think it is exactly the same. I haven't played through the Xbox 360 version, so I can't be sure, but it is a really good game. And also considering that I had to turn everything to low details for me to run it properly, it still looks good, not as good as the other new games coming out, like I guess Half-Life 2 or Fear or something like that, but it still looks good. And the gameplay, I really like the gameplay. It's quick and easy to learn for those who might be thinking otherwise, and it's a lot of fun. You know, I guess you can't say there's no fun in killing terrorists, but you know, it's great. And last but not least, I'd like to mention that over the weekend, thanks to our good friend Pete, I managed to get to play the Wii for a few hours, and we played Wii Sports, which incorporates bowling, baseball, boxing, tennis, and golf. And thanks to playing that for a few hours, I am now in constant pain because my arm is really sore from, you know, doing the swings in tennis and baseball and golf and bowling and all that. I like to say it's an awesome console. I want to get one, but I probably won't get one until maybe the next Metroid Prime game comes out onto the Wii, because as you all know, I love first-person shooters, and with Metroid Prime being a first-person shooter, when that comes out, I'll probably get it as well. You know, apologies to Pete for messing up his rug on the carpet, because I took my baseball too seriously. No, I didn't slide along his rug. It's just that when I was batting, I kind of, you know, my feet gripped into the rug a bit too much and kept messing it up. And also apologies to his door frame, because I got too close while playing tennis and I whacked the remote onto his door frame. Oh. But the good news is that both the door frame and the remote are in perfect health and they're all functioning properly.
Perfect.
So that just goes to say that Nintendo know how to make their things last.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's all fun by all. You know, I probably did the most fun in tennis as I was, you know, winning most of it. Until near the end, I guess, when everybody figured out how to beat me. But, you know, all those games, it's fun. And we only played Wii Sports. We didn't play any of the other big-name games that's out there. We didn't see anything else. Just Wii Sports was good enough for multiplayer. So, you know, you could buy a Wii. Don't even have to buy any other games for it, as Wii Sports comes straight through the console, and you'll be having fun for hours on end.
There you go.
And that's what we've been playing, I guess. That's a long rant about what we've been playing, because there's so much. But, next part of the show we would like to move on is called Website of the Show, where we like to talk about a website we think is worthy of us talking about, and they got to be pretty worthy for us to talk about them.
Oh, you better believe it.
Nah, we just pick one out like 1 second before we do the show.
Yeah.
But Lee found this, as he normally does, because he's got the faster internet than me, so he can probably find it in one twelfth of a second faster than me. Yes, I'm using that time, thanks a lot. What is this website you found, Lee?
Okay, this website is called Vooks, and according to itself, it is Australia's best and longest-running Aussie Nintendo news and reviews source. And, pretty good, and, you know, well, for our point of view, local mob, so that's always cool.
True.
They're pretty up to date, and I think they sent a contingent off to E3 this year. So I mean, they're not exactly two guys sitting around being ugly running a podcast.
Oh no.
I got to admit, the first time I even knew about this site was that dude at the Nintendo Connection thingy at the shopping center.
We went to play the Nintendo DS.
Yeah,
launch.
And,
yep.
And he had this. Tattooed on his shirt or whatever.
No, I didn't. Didn't he have, instead of having a printer on the back of his shirt, wasn't it like a piece of A4 paper with sticky tape onto it? Or was that someone else?
Yeah, I think, I don't think it was a classy job, but it worked, and I went there and had a look, and now I'm telling everyone about it, so there you go. That's good. It's got a lot of information on Nintendo. You've got photos, articles. Have a look.
Yeah, it's got articles, reviews. You got you know, release dates for games coming out, which is good to know when your upcoming game you want to get is coming out, so you don't need to have to figure out when to get it. There's a mailing list, especially. There's guides. There's a whole bunch of things. I'm not sure they're implemented yet, but I think they would be. And you know, it's from a gamer's perspective, so that's the important thing. It's not some corporate entity making a website just to sell their product. This is actually from a gamer's view, so they can tell the honest truth, especially since they're gamers themselves, about whether a game is good, whether it's bad, how to get the most out of your gaming. All these little things that in the end make gaming more fun and easier for everybody else. And it's a good site. I haven't used it much. I only used it maybe 1-2 times just to get some information about upcoming games for the Nintendo DS, as I'm thinking of getting a new game for myself. But yeah, it's a good site for those who want to check it out. We'll have a link for it on our website. And, just basically anything about Nintendo news in Australia, and you want to know about it, they would have it on their website.
And it is in Australia, so the server is hosted on a tin can and a bit of string, so you might have to give it a bit of a rest every now and then.
Yeah. You don't want to stress out the server,
No.
You'll probably crash, and you don't want that to happen.
No, that'll
happen. Well, I think that's coming to the end of our show, Lee. We've done a good job, I guess, once again.
Mm-hmm.
As Lee pointed out, the two ugliest guys on the internet doing a podcast about gaming from our point of view. I guess from Lee and myself, before we go, we'd like to wish everyone a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Yep.
Christmas is in, a few days' time, and I don't even think I've done my shopping yet.
Oh, I have. Oh, I'm going to act all holier than thou now.
Oh, good for you, mate. But, I don't know, Christmas shopping, well, I guess around this time of the year, it's only my fault for not doing it sooner. But, I should have started, in January. But if everybody in the shopping centers now, it's too much of a hassle to do anything. You get there early, or the parking place is already taken up. You're like, what? Did everybody come here last night and camp out? They probably did, but
I
don't
know. If you bring ammo bot, it'll be easier.
yeah, enough about ammo bot. Oh, man, that's going to be another word you're going to implement into the podcast. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, everyone.
Hope
you have a good one and a safe one. Drive carefully wherever you go. Don't drink too much, and take care.
Yep.
If you'd like to visit us, our website is videogamingisgood.podomatic.com. Podomatic or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you would know where to get this if you're listening to us right now. If you've got any questions or comments you want to talk about the episode, I'm sure Excalibur will have something important to say.
Yes.
He always does. We like to say, mate, stop hammering that F5 key. It'll be done when it's done.
Yep.
Just like the next Duke Nukem game. But, leave comments. We'd be happy to respond to it when we can. Good to hear from people who listen, and even from people we don't know. That's a surprise when we get one. So thanks a lot for listening in. It's much appreciated that we know that what we're doing is actually being listened by other people.
Yeah, wow. Next episode.
Next episode. What about next episode?
The release time.
Oh, well, let's see. According to our sources, just being the date and time calendar on Windows, the next episode is around New Year's Day. It might not happen, people. We'll probably be out partying, getting drunk and everything. Maybe the honest truth is that we're both on the computer and we couldn't bother doing anything as it's too hot down here in Australia. You never know. But, if it comes out on New Year's Day, that just probably goes to show they've got nothing else to do. If it doesn't, we'll just say that we've been partying too much and playing the Wii too much. It will come out when it comes out. We'll probably delay it as usual. Nothing new there. That's what you can expect. We'll probably have to change our tagline soon enough to something where you are always delayed. If it comes out, it comes out. If it doesn't, I don't think you're going to lose sleep over it. Maybe Excalibur. Not
maybe
anyone else. Yes, yeah, weird person he is. But that's about it. Anything else you want to talk about, Lee?
No, I'm good.
You're good. Okay, well, thanks everyone for joining us. This is episode 12, or has been episode 12. We hope you enjoy listening to us. You know, we've got nothing else much to say. Have a good one. What else?
I like the Bush Tucker Man.
Okay, that's for another show, I think. But anyway, thanks for joining us. Once again, I am Darren, a.k.a. M.O., and...
I'm Sklozza, Lee, 7.
Yes, he's Leet. I just got that. Woohoo!
Yeah.
Okay, well, thanks for joining us, and we hope to catch you next time in the new year. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas.